day is an experience about, again, you know, and some that you've all probably done before with some of you, at least with me, but it's so important, and it's just going to be some basic grounding and refresh on the emotional reactivity trauma response, three-step trauma response that is so very important and helpful for all of us. So thanks for kind of segueing toward that.
So yay.
So maybe what we can do is just start with a little check-in with whoever is here, and I would love to hear, you know, Brandon, I think I've met you very, very briefly once, and I'd love to, if you could join us on camera for a minute and or just be on camera with us, it would help me get to know you. And then I would love to ask each of you what your challenges are right now in your work and what you're excelling in. So if we could just do a brief check-in on those two things, that would be really helpful for me to know how to best serve you in our time together this evening, since I am so honored to be invited by Rita Marie to be a guest with all of you tonight. So, Brandon, do you want to start us off? Would you be okay to do that?
Yeah, I'll start us off here.
Great.
Let me get set up here. Okay. All right, so like current challenges right now?
Yeah.
All right, I guess it's just maybe like staying grounded, because I'm still working a full-time job, and I feel that higher calling right now, and I want to, you know, dive into my practice and help so many people, and it's like I am, but being patient with that process and building it up and still, you know, putting out social media content and finding ways to connect with people, but I'm investing time with work and all that stuff in between, and it's almost like anxiety. It's almost like a little bit of anxiety, because I just want to really dive into this, because I got a lot of goals, a lot of visions, and things that are planned. And sometimes I feel like I procrastinate. It's either procrastination or I actually just don't have the time. I'm almost in like analysis paralysis, I like to call it, where I can almost barely focus on one thing and master that before I feel like I'm, you know, spreading myself thin on the things that the content that I want to put out there. But generally speaking, I'm actually pretty satisfied. It's just I can never do enough. I expect so much out of myself, and it's just like that high achiever in me can't stay calm.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Thank you, Brandon. I love everything you shared, and I suspect that everybody on the call can relate to everything you said, you know, because so many of you are in this transition right now of either changing careers or building up your current career more as a practitioner. I love your passion about the work that you're doing. I love that you have that desire to want to help so many people, and that you're already doing that work and excited about it. And that there's a big workload right now, you know, but while things are sort of, you know, reconfiguring and finding their new balance for you. So those are real. And I also love what you said about this, you know, procrastination that comes up when you have this analysis paralysis. And you know, there's sometimes there's a way in which our psyche will force us to regulate by going into what I call stop mode. When we become too emotionally flooded or overwhelmed, then we'll sometimes, the subconscious will find a way to make us stop so that we can rebalance. So I would try to be gentle with yourself about that. And I'm going to, and I think the exercise I'm going to leave with you, the grounding exercise, will also be helpful. But you're in a learning curve right now, and thank you for all you shared, and just encourage you to be gentle as you transition from one career to the other. So it's coming, and I love your enthusiasm. So it's going to serve you well. Thank you for sharing that. Lynn Rose, you want to check in?
Well, so I'm not.
Yeah.
in a decaf detox mode right now. And so I've got a really bad migraine. So my thinking is not real good right now. Mm-hmm. But, and between that and my shoulder, you know, that's, I've been focused on my shoulder all week with therapies. So I haven't gotten a lot else done other than working, you know, on my project for you and the ERC.
Mm-hmm. That sounds like a lot right there, including the project of your shoulder and your detoxing, and that's a lot.
Well, I took this 3 or 4 days supposedly off so I could just kind of do a sleep holiday, but it hasn't quite worked the way I wanted it to, but this too shall pass.
Yeah. Well, thanks for that check-in. Very good. Okay. Lynn DeBure.
My challenge. That I have this full-time job, which I actually really like. And I have a new headset that I'm really not liking. But so my challenge is how to create space that has an actual flow for the life that I want to live. Like Brandon was saying, it's like I have all these ideas just percolating beyond the edge, and it's like, oh yeah, I could do this. Oh, when am I going to do that? When am I going to do this? And so my challenge is I have this baby that I need to take care of. And and it's interesting. I was reflecting on this, and in many ways it's also like with my own family. I've almost set aside my own real family because I'm doing all this other work. And so it's the challenge is how to create the space and boundaries so I can fully live.
Mm. Yeah. So that's the theme for you, huh? Boundaries, creating space and boundaries so you can fully live. I love that you are continuing to identify that. And I guess my question to you would be, and this is not something that you have to answer right now out loud, but just to think about what little baby steps toward that you could keep, and you probably have already started to do this,
yeah,
but to keep implementing on a daily basis for yourself.
So, I think I shared this with you. On Monday, my oldest daughter called me because her dog died. And it's still a little hard for me. Was it Monday or Tuesday? It was Tuesday. It was still a little hard for me because my children's children and their pets are a part of my life. And I was feeling, and thank you, Tony, because I was talking to her. And it really brought up for me the kind of life that I want. I want a life where I can just put everything down and go over and hug her and help her. I knew that she was having some issues with her dog, and I wanted a kind of life where I could go over and, you know, bring some of the herbs that I have that may have helped. And so it was almost like, you know, the will and the action. It was almost like somebody took their hand and pushed me. And I physically felt like it was being pushed. And so that's kind of where I'm at right now, is being pushed in a direction. And so I've gotten a lot more clarity, a lot more grounding, like Brandon was saying too, and conviction towards what I'm doing. It's like the boundaries are becoming more clear.
That's great. I love that for you. Yeah. And I love that you're feeling the push and paying attention to the push. That's good. Good, good, good. It's courageous. You know, the same thing with Brandon, what you were sharing, you know, it takes courage to face, and Maria also takes courage to face these things within ourselves, you know, that we are challenged by, and even just saying them out loud the way all of you are doing so honestly, I really appreciate, because that is reinforcing when we have a witness, and here we have many witnesses, right? So it helps us, I think. There's something very healing about being witnessed in our efforts. Even with Lynn Rose, what you were sharing about your own self-care, you know, there's something reinforcing about that when we get that witness and that validation from other people. So thanks, Lynn, for sharing that. Janet, checking in.
Yeah, I am kind of right there with Maria. There are times when I become so frustrated in my inability to communicate via technology. I have so much I want to share and do, and I'm such a workaholic, but my hands are tied. I mean, they might as well be, because they don't seem to work on the keyboard very well. So it's what Maria was saying, it's so shocking sometimes how, as peaceful as I am most of the time and calm and easygoing, I can flare in a second. And I just have to put my hands in my pocket. I just slam that computer right down the floor sometimes, because it's a barrier to me. It's keeping me from going where I want to be. Mm-hmm. And I have to learn how to work with that so that I can be where I want to be. But yeah. It's shocking how fast that flares up.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. Isn't it interesting how the funniest things show us where we really are and in our progress? And it's very humbling and very surrendering. You know, I remember reading in a Jack Canfield book, I can't remember the name of the book now, but a long time ago, there was a line I never, ever forgot in his book. He said, "We only get angry about the things we can do something about." Yeah. We never get angry about the things we can do nothing about. Like he said, you don't get pissed off at gravity because it pulled the fork down off the table on the floor. You know, you can't do, mm-hmm. If you drop a pen, you know, onto the ground, you don't go, "Oh, gravity, why did you do that?" Right? Because we can do nothing about gravity. But when we get mad, we only get mad at the things we actually can do something about. And that was so humbling for me. It's like, okay, what am I not doing something about instead of getting angry? You know, what's the thing that I need to do that I haven't just sort of surrendered to or accepted that this is something I can do something about? And it reminds me of my, you know, like kind of like my terrible twos, like I'm having my little temper tantrum because I don't want to do it that way. But that's like you said, it's a learning curve. And I think that's I get very curious when I get angry, because for me, it's like, okay, what have I not accepted yet? What that has to be in timing, in a different kind of timing than what I would like it to look like.
Yeah.
Because the timing of my, and you know, especially we just tend to compare ourselves, like, oh, you know, well, so-and-so learned this really fast, you know, like Lynn's got it down. At least that's what it might look like to me, right, from the outside. But I didn't see her learning curve. And even if my learning curve was 10 times longer than hers, I still have to be kind and gracious to myself and patient with myself, right? So these are the spiritual qualities, the spiritual characteristics that I'm still cultivating in myself. Surrender, patience, you know, mostly surrender, letting go to, you know, reaching out for support, asking for the kind of help that I might need, which is another humbling thing to do. Oh God, I can't do this one by myself. I have to ask help. You know, again, on something else. You know, and these are really scary things for a lot of us that were, you know, we were judged or we were criticized for reaching out, or, you know, certainly that's in my history, but in probably a number of us. So I hear you there. And thanks for bringing that up. That's going to be an interesting theme for us. So thanks, Janet. Tony.
Can I share something real quick?
Sure.
Because this is one thing I've learned for myself.
is that I get frustrated and angry because I expect things to be a certain way. And when it's not, like you said, with that temper tantrum, when it's not my way and it didn't look the way I wanted it to, then I get angry. So I just wanted to share that's something I've noticed for myself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's great awareness, right? So there's that pride ego thing that comes in, you know, that shows up like that. I'm guilty of that one too, Lynn. And you know, flexibility, especially when we're doing collaborative work, when we're working with teams and we're working with lots of different people. Boy, it's something that I've seen myself get stretched and stretched and stretched and then more stretched and then more stretched. And each time now I live in a community, right? So there's so many personalities and so much. So it's really been great for me to really keep learning. Okay. Nope. It's not going to be my way. Nope. It's not going to look perfect the way I think it would look, you know? So you really have to choose, you know, what do you want to, what your battles, where it's really not okay to compromise and where, okay, can I compromise here? Can I compromise here? So good for you. Thanks for sharing that. Anybody else relate to that one that Lynn was just talking about? Yeah, you're getting a lot of head nods. Okay, Tony.
Okay, so full disclosure, I've been doing a juice feast for the last 10, 11 days.
Wow.
I'm feeling a little toxic release, so my eyes are glazed over. I'm here, but not here. So so you guys will forgive me if my tongue and my brain are out of sync. But what this juice piece has taught me this week and what it's given me, I'll tell you the good stuff first, is greater clarity. Now, with that greater clarity came more anxiety because I have a clear understanding of where I want my book of business to be. And I want it to happen a little more quickly. So the frustration is in seeing two or three sides of my business that I do in a week, how much I feel flow in certain parts of the business, and it felt easy. And then because of the clarity I'm having, I was able to see how other parts of the business that I do well and I love felt a little harder, not quite in alignment, but not out of alignment either. But didn't give me that full richness that I feel with some parts of my business. So that's how it's changed.
Wow. Thanks for sharing that, Tony. I love that awareness of that, you know, recognition of some anxiety that shows up around the business not being exactly in flow as you might visualize or imagine. It's interesting, Brandon used that word. You use that word also about a little bit of anxiety when things aren't exactly happening. It's almost like I find this razor's edge balance between, you know, being centered and then being anxious on one side of the spectrum and being a little bit depressed on the other side of the spectrum, right? And to find like the balance of our energy to stay centered in that. And I really think that both sides of that coin have their value. You know, both the anxiety and the so-called depression that slows us down, which I kind of prefer the word contraction. And Tony, I love your use of language. I love how you call it a juice feast instead of a juice fast, you know. And here would be another way we could look at. I'm wondering about if you could dance around with another word for anxiety for yourself. That there might be an invitation to look at the sensation behind what we're calling anxiety, where it might be have less of a negative connotation than that word often does. And Brandon, you too, you might want to experiment with, you know, what if we looked at from the energetic perspective of what is the sensate feeling of anxiety, that we're this word that we use so often in our lives, you know, and not to negate that there's some discomfort around that, but to explore the energetics of that.
I actually, as you were saying that, what came to my mind was I used to run track, and so I would be in the blocks, right? And there would be this rush like, because I knew something was about to happen. And so I had this adrenaline rush that gave me a high. And so the anxiety is actually a high, but I feel like I'm in the blocks and I got this high and I can't run.
Oh, wow. Interesting. Yeah. So I love that. So we're going to do this exercise now. And I think it might actually help with that also. And like I say, for some of you, you may have done this with me before. If not, we'll do it again because it's so useful. And if you haven't, then this is, again, something that you can use for your clients. And when I was thinking about all of you today and doing this tonight, one of the things I was thinking about was what would be some of the things that show up with your clients that might be the challenges that you have with your clients. And so does anybody have, before we launch into this, does anybody have anything you want to just toss in there? Like, what do you find to be some of the common denominators for your clients when they come in to work with you that you have perhaps in working with them or that they are having? Anybody want to toss something into the pot around that? And one of the things that I thought of, and maybe this will be helpful and might give you spark some ideas too, is one of the things that I thought might be helpful is I find a lot of my clients certainly come in very much focused in their head, much trying to intellectualize solutions.
That's exactly what I was going to say. Having them get from their head into the heart. That's my trouble, and that's what I always pick up on. So you said exactly what I was just going to say.
Okay, great. Thank you. So I know I'm on the right track too then with what you guys might need today. What else? Anybody else have anything else you want to add to that?
I think that, a lot of people thinking it's on the doing, and only one side of the coin or two sides of the coin and missing the perspective that is such more interconnected, you know. My clients come for weight loss, you know, because they're fatigued, they're this, and, you know, the consequences of weight loss, you know, they're not feeling well, yada, 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 all this stuff. I think everybody here works with the same kind of people. They're not feeling well, they want to be healthy, and they just focus on one side. It's normally the food, they become obsessed, or it is the exercise, and getting them to realize that there's a lot more to it. It's really, you know, a big work in getting them to the journey of the mindset, which is I focus a lot on my business. It's, it's a journey. And I think sometimes, you know, they are against it, you know, because it's a little harder work. Mm-hmm. But the ones who open it up for it can get amazing results.
That's good.
So that's it.
Yeah, that's great, Maria. I think you're so right on target with what probably shows up for a lot of people in your, you know, a lot of practitioners. I'm going to give you one suggestion right off the bat that might help address that specific thing that you just named. And it's a question that you can ask them that you may want to use frequently. And most of you have heard me say this before, but I find it so helpful. And it's a question that you can ask him, which is simply this: what are you feeling as you share this with me? What are you feeling emotionally as you share this with me? Or what are you feeling in your body as you share this with me? So that's going to help them connect and drop down a little bit also out of their head. And that's something that you might, you know, just ask them to, and ask them to pause for a minute to notice what you're, because they might just continue, right? Oh, I'm feeling frustrated and I'm feeling annoyed and I'm feeling blah, blah, blah. That's not the kind of response that's going to be helpful to them. And now I'm going to show you the exercise. We'll do it. We'll all do it right now. And you can also do this with your clients. And this will help them. So you may have to educate them first by saying, okay, we're going to take a pause for a moment to help you so that I can respond to your concerns right now by doing something. And then I would ask them permission. Are you willing to do that? Are you willing to try something with me? This is also, I find, to be a really important step, that you actually ask their permission. I don't think I've ever had anybody say no, because they want to get better, right? I have something I'd like to try with you. Might be a little different. Or would you be open to trying something that might really help you? And it's going to be a little different. So you give them that setup before we even do the exercise. Okay, so are you all willing to try something different with me right now? Okay. Thank you. Very good. I'm getting a affirmative response. All right. So here's what we're going to do. I'm going to ask that we be really focused, and I appreciate the group consciousness that we have created here. Even though we're a small group, it's very nice. I feel like we're all plugged in together. This also helps us because we're creating a group synergy. That even though we are physically far apart, energetically we are in a group energetic consciousness that is not limited to time or space. So we have already created this energy bubble together as a group here that we've entered into. So I just wanted to call our attention to that, because it helps us to have a more deep, profound experience individually when we're attuned to the group consciousness that we've created as a team here. Okay, so what I'm going to ask you to do is take your hands, interlace your fingers, and place them on top of your head. I want you to sit up tall. If you're standing, that's fine. But sit up tall, and I want you to, as you're sitting up tall in your chair, press down on your crown. Feel it goes straight through until you feel that you feel a little pressure through your tailbone. If you're standing up, then feel it all the way through the bottoms of your feet. Open your elbows wide so that your back expands as well and your chest is not collapsed, and breathe deeply. So this is the beginning of grounding. Feel the pressure on your head and push down so that you feel as though you're pushing down with about 10 pounds of pressure. Right down on the crown of your head, the top of your head, through your spine. And then we're going to press down. I'm going to take my glasses off. We're going to press down over our face. I want you to feel the whole shape of your head, and you're going to press in hard. Press in hard with a lot of pressure so that you really are feeling the whole shape of your head, and breathe deeply as you do this. Press over your face, your nose, your eyes, the back of your head. Feel the whole shape of your head over your ears, behind your ears, the back of the neck, the occiput. Press down onto your shoulders. Press the front and back of your neck. Press in down, not so hard that you hurt your throat or the glands in there, but enough pressure to really feel that. Press down over one shoulder and down the top of the arm. Use compression and press all the way down the arm. And look at your arm as you do it. So see what you are doing. Look at your arm. Look at your fingers. All the way down through your fingers. Press up through the back side of the palm and up the back side of the arm. Look at your arm as you do it. Breathe deeply. Look at what you're doing. See it. Press into your armpit. Press down your armpit and around your breast. Press your entire breast. Breathing. Lynn, you're in public, so you might have to do this with a little more delicacy. Okay. Press down the center of your chest, down the center line, down the center of your chest. Breathing as you go. Down over your belly, all the way over your pubic bone. Or, you know, appropriately so in public. Okay, press down your other shoulder. Look at what you're doing. See your arm. Press down the arm. Top of the arm. Press hard. Use a lot of pressure. Breathe as you go. Press your fingers. Turn over your hand. Press the back side of your hand. Press up the inside of your arm. Use compression. Press hard. Press into your armpit. Breathing. Press around the breast, breathing. From your back, bring your hands up as high as you can and stroke down your backside. Over your butt, turn your hands over so you can stroke down your butt. Breathe and feel that. And then down the front of your body, over the thighs, and then if you want, you can sit back down, but I want you to sit at the edge of your chair so you can stroke the insides of your thighs to your knees. Look at what you are doing. Look at your thighs as you do it. Stroke along the outsides of your thighs, underneath your thighs, from the butt to the back of the knees, the tops of the thighs. Again, looking at what you're doing. Down one leg from the knee to the ankle, the sides of the leg, and then from the back of the knee, stroking and pressing, using compression to really press in hard. And then get the whole foot, the ankle, the bottom of the foot, the toes, using compression, breathe. And then down the other leg, stroking and pressing in with pressure, using compression, looking at what you're doing as you go. All the way down to the foot, pressing into the foot and the toes. And then when you feel complete, just close your eyes for a minute. Put your feet flat on the floor. Close your eyes, take a couple breaths, sit up nice and tall. Keep the chest wide and open. Just notice what you're feeling from having done that. Just take a moment to notice. That took literally about 2 minutes at the most. Maybe 90 seconds to 2 minutes to do that. Just noticing what you're feeling, noticing what's present from having done that. And place your hands over your heart. It's heart center, right in the center of the chest, the heart chakra. Breathe into your heart, to your heart center. And just notice what's present now, what you're feeling now. Okay, so when you're ready, you can open your eyes, and I would just love to hear a little sharing about that experience. What was that like for you?
Well, it certainly took me out of my head, put me back in my body very nicely.
Great, and so what's the benefit for you of feeling like you're back in your body when you said very nicely? What, say a little bit more what that feels like.
It feels very balanced and peaceful. I was so much in my head today. It was just all in my head, working, trying computer, working. Now the body is more balanced and the head is more empty.
Nice. Thank you, Janet. Great. So just imagine, right, if we asked our clients, after you did that, and then you asked your client, what are you feeling as you think about or as you talked about wanting so desperately to lose that weight? So there would be probably a very different kind of answer that might come. What else happened? Anybody else want to share about what that felt like?
Sure. A lot of good energy, flow, circulation, while we're tapping, really connecting ourselves to the body, and really very positive circulation of energy. And once we're breathing through the heart, really that circulation or energy kind of slowed down a little bit and brought more calmness. That's how I felt.
Beautiful. Good. Thank you for sharing that, Maria. I'm glad there's more calmness now. So just in that 2 minute shift, right, we can shift to that kind of calmness. And just by taking that time to do that, and so very quickly, really. Anybody else want to add to the pot here on that?
Energized.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Good.
But not chaotic energy like earlier today, more like focused energy.
Yeah. Great. Great, great, great. Okay. So, so more energized, calmer, less in our head, more integrated with our body, right? So any session that you do, especially if you've got somebody, a client who you really goes intellectual or is perhaps an excessive talker, this is really helpful to sometimes just start the session off this way. And you're going to shift them out of their left brain into their right brain. You're going to bring them into a more balanced state. It only takes literally 1 to 2 minutes. You can do it faster than that if you want to. But it's just important to regulate your own voice and regulate the tempo through which you guide them in. And it's a technique that I also like to give people for homework. You know, you can say, okay, do practice this. If you really want to lose weight, this is what you do every day. Or you do this before you eat your meal to calm yourself down so that you can eat more slowly and improve your digestion. So some people do really well with assignments like that, or who might need self-nurturance. Or if you get them, if they have a hard time being disciplined on their own, if you do this with them in a very disciplined way at every session, they will eventually start to do it on their own. So so some clients, this is a great exercise to just start every session with, or even start and end every session with. And so you can show them what these sorts of healthy healing rituals will do for them, especially if they are, like you mentioned, Maria, if they're doing people, this really can be a good technique for doing people. Okay, you're a doer. This is one of the things I want you to do. We're going to do it every day at the beginning and the closing of our session, and I want you to do it once a day too, and then report back to me. So that kind of thing. So this can be very helpful in that regard. Lynn, did it help? Lynn Rose, did it help you with your headache at all? I'm just curious about that.
Not really. Mm-hmm. I found more pain.
You're in more pain.
Well, no, I found other places that were mm-hmm. tender and sensitive. So my body's just inflamed right now.
Yeah. Yeah. So for you, it may need to be less pressure than what I was guiding. It might need to be very gentle, light touch, more energetic than physical sensation.
Compression feels good. I mean,
okay, good. Okay, good. Good, good, good. Okay. Thanks for sharing that. Okay. So the other piece that I want to do is, I think I want to talk a little bit more about emotional reactivity before we do this, because this is something that will help us. This is the three-step guide to regulate emotional reactivity. So kind of like what Janet, you and Maria were both talking about, when those reactions, those emotional reactions come up or flare up for us unexpectedly when we get triggered. These are learned patterns from our past that are programmed in there. And these, when we have emotional reactivity that we don't like in ourselves, you know, so much of this is, it's what I call learned legacy. It's learned and then it becomes legacy. And guess what? We're the inheritors of those legacies until we stop passing it on. And either passing it on to our children or passing it on to our friends or passing it on to our significant others. So now that it's our inheritance, it's just as much our responsibility to stop the legacy as it, you know, as it was both the gifts and the wounds of our legacy, right? We inherited both these gifts and these wounds. So now that it's ours, we can understand all we want that, you know, our parents did the best they could, blah, blah, blah. And guess what? Now it's mine. And I have to do the work to change the legacy, to not pass it on or continue to live it myself. This is a task I'm 64 years old. I'm still working on. But I'll just share with you one of the things that I'm working on for myself is my tendency. I grew up with a very critical mother. I mean, highly, highly critical. I got criticized, you know, very frequently in our household. Criticism was there, negative criticism. So it's interesting for me because I notice when I'm teaching or I'm with a client, I am what I love Diana Foch's psychologist terminology. She calls yourself at best. We have ourself at best and we have ourself at worst, right? So when I am in those two elements, I am myself at best more often than not. But there are certain situations, certain people, certain environments where myself at worst comes up, right? And myself at worst, when it shows up, is oftentimes I hear myself being that critical mother that I had, right? And that criticism very often is turned against me. So I will be self-critical, and I will also find myself being silently, because I've gotten real good at, you know, outwardly covering it, but inwardly critical toward others, or secretly critical with just, you know, maybe one particular friend who I feel safe to let that side of myself show with. But I don't like that part of me, and I'm working to change that attitude in myself, because I know that it also doesn't help me. Now, I'm not perfect, and there's a difference between being critical and being discerning, which I'm also trying to discern. I'm working on discerning. So I'm just sharing that with you as an example of, like Maria, you gave the example of, for you, the challenge is your anger flares up. And Janet, you kind of talked about that too. Like, you get frustrated and just want to throw the computer down, right? So These are part of our learned legacies, right? That our reactivity that shows up like this. So criticism is also a form of anger. You know, my criticism pattern is also a form of anger. So however it shows up for us is what we're working to shift. And it's just an energetic patterned expression. So what we want to do is we want to go to the life force. We want to go underneath the pattern expression to the life force that is beneath that. So there's a distorted expression, or I don't know if I want to say distorted expression, a limiting expression or a not particularly healthy expression of our aliveness that's showing up that way, right? I don't really care for that aspect of my personality. I want that to be different for me. I want to have what I love Oprah says, an attitude of gratitude. So I'm working on that, right? But one of the ways I want to work on that is to go to the aliveness, the life force energy that lives underneath that inside of myself. So just having said that much to all of you, without this getting too intellectual, I want you to just close your eyes for a minute and take a couple deep breaths. And when you think about the pattern, the legacy that you have inherited, you know, like Lynn talked about boundaries, Brandon talked about anxiety, whatever that legacy is that you inherited that you want to be different, that you want to be healthier, just feel into the sensation that lives underneath the emotion of that for a moment. There's a sensation that kind of informs or guides that, informs that feeling as it shows up in you. And it might feel like you're just making this up, or this might feel really abstract to you, and that's okay. If it had a place that it lived in your body, this sensation of whatever that quality or characteristic is, just imagine where that place would be and put your hands there. Just put your hands on your body, wherever that sensation of that characteristic lives in you that you don't like. And take a couple breaths. That's it. Just take a couple breaths. And as you breathe out, just with your imagination, and I just would suggest that you close your eyes to do this, just with your imagination, kind of imagine if it had a shape or a form or a color and were to come out of your body, even like a cartoon bubble or something, an animated cartoon, and it came out of your body on the next exhale of the breath, just imagine that what that energy would look like as it left your body. Just do that with a few breaths. Just let those energy bubbles of those weird shapes or images come right out of your body. And if there was an emotion or a frequency or a color that accompanied it, just let that come out also. And when you feel ready, you can open your eyes. So, anybody have any images or thoughts or anything you want to share about that? Yeah, Tony.
So, as I was breathing out, I was imagining, you know, those little bubble things you had as a kid, you know, blow, and it would come out of my body and then pop. Bigger and bigger and then pop. And they were coming out in different sizes, but they were popping once they got out. Yeah.
Nice. I love that. Sounds fun. Yeah, good. Anybody else?
Well, mine was not kind of a bubble thing. Honestly, It was, to be really honest, it was like, it was a little devil. You know, those little cartoons of a little devil, and the color was red and black. And it just won. And that thing was really staring at it. But it, actually, I also felt some relief when you're saying that it's out. You know, when I start putting, it was heavy over here. And I always feel when I'm angry that it's really right here in the middle, you know. And it felt calmer. It's almost like, okay, you're out of the body. And this thing was little laughing at it. It's not really good. But, you know, it was like, okay, you know what? But it was interesting to kind of allow maybe to get out, you know, and see it from the outside. So, yeah, my little red and black little devil, like the cartoon laughing about it and like, yay, you know, crazy shit.
Now, I love it. Actually, I love that for you. I love that. And I love that you noticed the difference in how it felt once you let it out and the lightness, too. And you're kind of laughing as you talk about it and smiling, you know, because really our anger in actuality is so benign. And it's so ridiculous. 99% of it is. And like if you think about, I know one of the things I like to do is imagine when you see little kids fighting on the playground, you know, like 6 and 7 year olds, you know, and the teacher's standing off in the corner watching, going, oh, there they go, right? And she's kind of amused and she's going to, but those 6 and 7 year olds, they're really taking it seriously, right? This is really serious stuff to them. I always kind of feel like that's God looking at us grown-ups, you know, going, oh, yeah, look at the kids, they're at it again, right? Oh, now they're throwing nuclear bombs at each other. They still can't get it right, you know? It's like, so, I mean, really, that's, it's really that ridiculous, our anger. So I love that you could subscribe those images to it. So beautiful. Thanks for sharing that, Maria. Anybody else want to share anything from that exercise?
Mine was kind of like what you were talking about with criticism, and it looked like, I don't know if you've ever seen a burdock, but the burdock seed is a big gnarly barbed
this, what's the word I'm looking for? Like a burr.
Mm.
So it was, and I had a difficult time releasing it too, because it would hang on things on the way out.
Wow.
Yeah.
Great image. Great image. You know, the energetics are so fascinating because they're so potent. It's so potent to work with the energetics in this way and to actually feel the sensations shift as we do allow that to happen. Brandon, what was this like for you?
So yeah, it was that anxiety energy, and you know, I had my hands over my abdomen, just kind of feeling that tension, but like releasing it in fire, almost like red fire almost coming out of me, and almost felt better.
Yay, that's great. So I know this one is a little bit more strange, what we just did. For some clients, this might be a little too weird for them, but you'd be amazed at how many people actually will respond to it. So feel free to try it out with the ones that you think might benefit from it. So I want to just show you one last thing, and then we'll open it up for any challenging client questions that might arise from having done all this. And this is, I want to just review the 3-step emotional reactivity trauma response regulator, because it's so simple and it's so important. And you're going to get, Lynn, can you put in the chat the Google Doc? She'll send you the, there's a Google Doc that you guys can have, which will walk you through this, that you can save for yourselves and feel free to use with your clients and feel free to share it with your clients. It's super simple.
Because you gave me a Google folder that had many other.
Oh, all right, so I'll send it to you guys at the end of the call then. I'm not such a good multitasker as Lynn is in finding that. But you'll get it.
I see a 3-step trauma and emotional reactivity recovery guide. Is that what you're looking at?
That's it. Yes, okay. That's it.
All right, okay, then I'll get that.
Okay, great. Thanks, Lynn. Okay, so this is super simple, and I'm just going to have us do it as I talk you through it, because it's, and the time to use this is when your clients are emotionally in a emotional overload, or when we are in emotional overload. And so if you catch yourself in a triggered anger response, or if you catch yourself in too much grief in a grieving loop, or in a in feeling emotionally flooded in any way, or anything that feels like you're a little bit out of control, or if your client is having that when they talk about something that they get too overly emotional, and there's healthy release of emotion and there's unhealthy release of emotion. And it can be challenging to discern that, but I'll just tell you a couple clues that can be super helpful. If somebody is crying or if you are crying and if you feel relieved after you're crying, then that was healthy tears. If you feel exhausted and depleted after crying, that's unhealthy tears. That's what I call looping. So if somebody is hysterical or has a tendency toward hysteria, this is especially useful for that kind of person. If somebody is very easily triggered and very highly reactive, this is very, very useful for this kind of client. Okay, so here's how it works. The 3 steps are stop and see is step 1. So just repeat it after me. Stop and see. Okay, so stop and see means you stop what you're doing. So if they're crying or they're talking or their head is down, you're going to ask them to sit up, pick your head up, open your eyes, look at me. Now look around the room. Is anything dangerous happening? Right? This is what you're going to ask them. Is anything dangerous happening right now? So I want you all to do that right now. Look around the room. Is anything scary or dangerous happening right now? Check it out and see. And it's very important, because if something is scary and dangerous that's happening right now, then we're going to deal with that and we're not going to go any further. We're going to deal with getting safe first. Right? If the answer is no, nothing scary or dangerous is happening, that's good. Then we're going to be able to go on. But the first thing is, literally, even if they know they're by themselves in their house, you know, if they say, no, nobody's here, but I don't feel safe. Well, are your doors locked? Do you need to get up and lock your door? Okay, yes. So get up and lock your door. And then come back. Okay, so whatever it is that they're just going to stop and they're going to look around at their environment and see. Stop and see, am I safe? Am I safe? That's the question they're answering. If they say yes, then they're going to see, you're going to have them pick out something in their environment that is pleasant to look at. It could be a plant. It could be something out the window. It could be a picture on the wall. And then you're going to have them describe that thing to you in detail. Okay, I'm looking at this beautiful picture. Tell me about the picture. What's in the picture? Well, there's a ship, and the ship has, you know, a mast on it, and it's the, you know, the, it's a beautiful day, and the sun, there are rays of the sun shining on the captain of the boat, and, you know, whatever it is, you have them describe it in detail. Because what happens in doing that, they're shifting from their right brain, they're shifting from the sympathetic to the parasympathetic, right? They're shifting by having to talk and focus and coming out of that state of hysteria by giving them a specific task to focus on that is left brain engaged. Okay, so stop and see. And then once they've done that for about a minute or so, or till you see them start to shift, then you can go to step two, which is sigh and smile. Okay, so now that you're a little bit calmer, let's take a deep breath. Let's take a few deep breaths and just take an exhale. Ah, so you all know about oxytocin breathing. So we're going to sigh. We're going to just do a little smile. They don't have to do a big masky smile, right? They just have to do a little Mona Lisa smile. Bring up the corners of the mouth and take a few deep breaths to oxygenate. And feel that happen in their bodies and do it for, you know, about a minute or so, so that some oxytocin starts to get created in their body and they're actually having a state shift. Okay. And then step three, so sigh and smile, say it after me, sigh and smile. So step one is stop and see, say it, stop and see. Step two, sigh and smile. Step three is step and tap. So that means simply tapping your feet on the floor, you're walking in place, so you can all do that right now, step and tap. And then also crossing your arms and tapping your opposite shoulder. You can do that on your shoulders, you can do it on your lap, but the arms need to be crossed so that the left and right brain are crossed and engaged that way. And your feet are tapping at the same time. So if you are having a flooded response and you're sitting in a board meeting, a corporate board meeting, you can do this very quietly. Nobody will know. You can put your hands on your lap and tap that way. You can tap your feet or just your toes on the floor. Nobody's going to know. And you have just self-regulated. Okay? So this is really, really powerful. It's really potent. If you feel yourself, if you feel that anger surge coming up through the body, the energetics coming up. Okay, you can do this intervention for yourself as well. You know, there's been all this proof that, you know, releasing anger through, you know, hitting pillows and stuff like that is no longer, all it does is perpetuate or fan the flame of that fire. So what we really want to do is regulate the energy of that. So this is super, super helpful for people who are trauma survivors, who tend to go into emotional reactivity. I use it on myself when I'm anxious, when I'm nervous about something, before I perform or speak to a group or something, I might find myself regulating this way and grounding this way. Very potent technique. Okay, so how do you feel from that? Questions about that? Comments about that? Anything? Now we can open it up to whatever you guys need. How you feeling?
I'm not gonna lie, I'm kind of zenned out because I've been juicing, right? I'm just feeling good. Thank you.
Good.
This was very helpful. Kind of for a while I was going through the tapping. I like actually the tapping, you know, that we did today versus the tapping noise.
Yeah, the compression. So using compression may be more useful for you. It brings us into our body. It's very grounding.
Yes. So this is a great reminder of that, that I got to continue to add to my sessions. I was doing that and then I fell out of the habit. I had heard about, I think this technique is that EMDS or something like that? There is some.
You're thinking of EMDR probably.
Yes. That's it.
EMDR is different. That's a little different, but they're all good. They all have their place and they all have their purpose and use. And so this is more a combination of the somato-emotional release work and the Peter Levine trauma regulating work, combination of a couple of different things, but this is a trauma regulator that can be very helpful for people.
Yeah. Now this whole session has been very useful to me. It reminded me of, I'm definitely going to go back and listen to it again, to implement to myself. If I feel like, hopefully I don't have many of these rage moments, you know, very few these days, but I try to control myself very well. But also to start implementing more with clients. So this is good. Thank you.
Great. You're so welcome, Maria. You know, the other thing that you might be curious about is to look at, to ask yourself, or when you reflect on those incidents, when they happen for you, how old do I feel right now? Like what age does it bring you to, right? And then what did I need at that age that I didn't get that would help me feel safe? Like what's it triggering, right? Because the anger was a way that you tried to take care of yourself, you know, it wasn't, and so now that's not serving you, right? But the real question is, what do I need to feel safe that I didn't get? And that might be helpful as you reflect on it to take a look at for yourself.
Yeah, you know, I grew up in an environment that the anger was the screaming and the explosion was all around it, and I'm very sensitive to it now, you know.
Yeah.
Very, very sensitive. I just can deal with it, I think. So it brings me a lot of, whoa, I can't be in this environment. So when it came out yesterday, it really shocked me because I felt awful, right? And felt out of balance and totally out of control. And that is exactly a lot of what I grew up with.
Yeah.
I have to think about what exactly I needed, you know, but I think it was a lot of anxiety and uncertainty in the house that brought this up for my mom, you know, and then carried to my sister and whatever, you know. So there was, the house was like an explosion.
Yeah.
And as a kid, I guess, you know, a lot of things I just don't remember. You know, I think I got to think about what exactly, you know, what is that, what I needed.
Yeah, good. That might be helpful for you. And, you know, when you said there was a lot of uncertainty, you know, children really need predictability to feel safe, right?
Mm.
That's one of the things that might be, and that might be helpful for you now as an adult, right? Like what would help me have predictable markers in my life that help me feel stable and safe. And yeah, thanks for sharing all that. Really hear the tenderness around it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Anybody else want to share challenges, challenging client cases? Or do we want to talk about any of that?
I just want to mention that I am aware of this from a long time ago. I had someone very wise after Larry had passed away, and I was having severe anxiety attacks. And she taught me this. And I had to chuckle at myself because I did remember it, but I was saving it for big things.
Mm.
When the big things happened, I didn't think about using it for when, you know, working with my computer and getting upset, that's not a big thing. But I was saving that for big things to happen, yeah. Which I see could be helpful for clients.
Absolutely. Yeah,
they
absolutely.
Might have the tools, but they're saving them for when it's really, really, really bad. Right now, it's not so bad.
Yeah.
Use them all the time instead.
Yeah, good. I love that you brought that up because, yeah, these are really great little skills that people can incorporate into their daily life, into their routine, things like that. You know, I had a therapist who I worked with for, when I was in healing school, and every time I would sit down with her, we would always start our sessions with just holding hands. And she called that attuning. She wanted to attune with me. So she would take my hands and we would close our eyes for a minute. And that was this little ritual that I came to really love. And, you know, she would attune to me and she would have me attune to myself. And we can do that long distance too. Even if you're working with your client over Zoom, you're not going to be able to touch physically, but you can just have them close your eyes and let's attune together, just like we sort of did as a group consciousness here, right? Or walk them through this grounding thing that we did, or whatever you think they need, because intuitively you yourselves know what your client needs. They're going to also tell you what they need. You know, if they're going to say, "Oh, I'm not centered and I'm not grounded," exactly. Okay, well, what helps you feel centered? Let's explore that. And then start to, you know, "I'm not disciplined." Okay, I'm going to help you be disciplined. We're going to be disciplined together. So much of what I do is a kind of, you know, and I don't usually use this word with my clients, but I'll secretly use it with you guys, right? Is really reparenting, giving our clients a part of the parenting they didn't get. They didn't get it. You know, there were certain things I didn't get from my, not because they were bad or not well-intended, but were also limited. So some of those things that we really needed that we didn't get, that's what a tribe is for, right? That's what a community is for, so that we can fill in some of the pieces, those crucial pieces that our parents and our community growing up couldn't provide for us. We're still seeking them. So I'm providing some of those pieces for my clients. So if I have a client saying, "I don't know what it is to be disciplined, I can't do everything by myself," okay, we're going to do it together. You and I, we're going to do it together. And then just get in the soup with them.
You know, one difficulty that I struggle in, and this comes especially with male clients, you know, very type A, strong, which I can deal very well with them. But the sense of urgency of getting the results, you know, and while, you know, because men normally tend to just shortcut the process, right? They believe on something, they listen to certain things you say, they might not listen to others. And it's really, you know, for me, what is challenging in certain ways, which is a good challenge, you know, because you try to really talk to this to the people in different angles, so they want to try different things. But it's, you know, it's interesting that this man came up in one session, you know, he was like, "Oh, blah, 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 yeah, in high heels." And then this was a Thursday. And then he comes over here on a Monday in person. He's like, doesn't even look in my eyes. He's so disappointed, this and that, and yada, yada starts. And that's when I can be direct in certain ways, you know, but also to bring them to say, "Hey, this is your body. There is a level of acceptance over here that you have to understand. And this in some ways is a trial and error, you know, but it's some people, they're so, and then you bring them to like, look, you've been going through this for so long, right? And this is less than a month, right? Less than a month. And, you know, but with men, because they can be so like, zoop, okay, this works or this does not work, you know, there is a, it's not an anxiety. It's just like, am I doing everything I can, you know, to help this person? Mm-hmm. And in that case, you know, and it kind of brought me to that with the time limits and boundaries that I want to set for myself. It's not like I have this person on speed dial and he's paying me, you know, but I want him to be the best, but he's still got to make that decision. It's just interesting, you know. I mean, I think that one of the things that struggles is this speed, you know.
Yeah, good. Great question, Maria. So a couple things I want to recommend. One is when you have a chance in your, you know, already packed schedule, I know, but the book, The Five Personality Patterns, which is what the Module 5 would, take a look at that book and read especially the aggressive pattern.
Okay.
Read the chapter on the aggressive pattern, because it's probably a lot of what the type is that you're talking about that shows up in your practice. And I love that they're finding their way to you, because you, I'm sure you can match that energy, which is really important for them. But why don't we try a little role play for a minute and see what comes out of this? And you be the client, and I'll be the practitioner, and let's see what evolves here. So you be this guy.
Okay. So, all right. So in that case, you know, if you were me that day, I had this scale I was supposed to, you know, so he's walking through the door and I'm going to take this.
Can you hear me still?
Yeah.
Okay. So here comes, you know, this person, right? Says from the distance, good morning, and looking down, and he sees this scale and it says, no, we're not going to wait today. This is going to be a downer. I'm not ready for it. I mean, this is mind-boggling. And then he sits down, still not looks at me, you know, and he says, I don't understand. I just don't understand why I cannot do this, yada, 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 yada.
Okay, what's his first name?
Michael.
Make a name. Michael, okay. Michael, look at me. Okay, you're paying me, right? You're paying me? Yeah?
Yes.
Okay. All right, so who's the expert here, you or me?
You.
Okay, so then let me be the expert.
Okay.
All right.
Okay. I can do that.
It's going to take time. You want to do it your way? How's your way working for you? Is it working?
No.
All right. You going to do it my way now?
Okay. I can try.
All right. Thank you. It's going to take more time than what you gave it over the weekend.
Would you really talk in that level?
You bet I would.
Oh, shit, I don't. I'm thinking that I would be too brutal. And I did say, let me bold and honest with you in that kind of tone.
Good.
And I said, you know, this is boom, 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 boom.
And he needs you to be in charge.
And it worked, because he left me, okay, good, feeling good. And then he was fine, you know. But
good. So you're on the right track. You're on the track.
So continue to be bold with a person like that.
You bet.
Okay. So, all right. I wasn't sure if I really was insecure, you know, by being that bold. I was thinking, am I too aggressive? I was afraid a little bit.
Yeah. Read that chapter. It'll help you to understand what's behind that behavior.
Okay.
And it'll help you to be courageous when you need to be in that way. Because you can match him for sure. You've got it in you.
Oh, no. I can be that bitch. Oh, there's no problem.
That's why they're coming to you. Because they feel that power in you. They feel safe with your power. And so you use that power to help continue to make them feel safe.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. You're welcome. Who else has something? All right. Is this a good place to wrap it up today? Should we just do some closing checkout remarks then? Okay. Tony, you want to close us up today? Start with you.
Sure. I always appreciate learning from you, and I'm so grateful that you found your schedule to share with us here. And I so appreciate everyone sharing your personal challenges. And thank you so much. I'm just like, I'm all blissed out and zenned out on juice. So. Not so
great. Okay. Thank you too, Tony. Great. Maria, any closing remarks for you?
No, this was great. It was a good day to have this. You know, tomorrow is I turn 44 years old.
Oh, happy birthday!
I really feel like it's half of my life. You know, and oh my God, I mean Jesus. And it's not bad. I'm just, you know, reflecting on it, and I'll be reflecting some more. And I have, you know, I'm going to take some time off, but here is one thing that I want to share, because I felt alive last week, and I hadn't done in almost 5 years, and really brought me to like, wow, I need this. You know, I was on a trip that was kind of sponsored, so I'm very thankful for that, to Jamaica. And this person knew I like adventure and all that kind of stuff, and he scheduled one day to be totally, you know, out. So we went to this nature. We basically went up on the waterfall, all throughout the water. And I did kind of some stuff that are, you know, kind of outside of most people's comfort zone. And I hadn't done that in a while. And then went to another place and jump off, you know, the cliff of 35 meters.
Oof.
And, oh, my God, I missed this stuff so much. I felt so alive again. It was it's almost like that feeling. I said, oh, my God, how important this is to my life. Mm-hmm. You know, and I felt that sense of freedom that I have, you know, that whole day. That is so important to me, you know, freedom. Mm. And I'm like, oh my God, this being, you know, what people would call crazy is really what spikes my, I don't know, that open, you know, open the chest. I was just so happy. So anyway, and then come back and have this aggressive thing that didn't align. So anyway, I'm moving forward and all that kind of stuff. So today was great. Thank you very much.
You're so welcome. Brandon.
Yeah, thank you again for all the good juju. That was just great, and I really like that calming, kind of like grounding exercise too. It's something, it's just another tool I can add to my little toolbox and use throughout the day, and you know, pass it along to others too. So yeah. Thank you.
You're so welcome. Thanks, Brandon. Lynn Rose.
I'm sorry, I'm not as present as I'd like to be today. But I appreciated that. It gave me a lot of good information to use with my clients. I appreciate it.
Okay. Thank you. I hope you feel better. Mm-hmm. I'm glad you joined us in any case.
Thank you.
Linda Buer.
Yeah, as always. As always, I come away with just a new perspective. And, you know, I still can feel that pushing, and I, this was just more clarity and more synchronicity proof, whatever you want, that I'm going in the right direction, and the tools that you are sharing, which help me to be more present and in my body, even in McDonald's, is it's priceless, and it's one that I feel I can bring to other people in whatever capacity, that it will allow me to be fully present there for them.
Yeah.
So.
Great. Thanks, Lynn. Yeah. Janet.
Thank you for reminding me that these tools are for everything, not just big things. They can be for anything. And it's nice to remember that. It's nice to know.
Good. Very good, helpful. Good.
Thank you.
I'm glad. You're so welcome. Well, thank you all. It was a pleasure to be with all of you. Thanks for taking the time out of your evenings to join me. And I look forward to seeing you guys again soon. And certainly at Shine, I hope I see all of you there.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Bye.
Bye. Happy birthday, Maria.
Yeah, happy birthday.